You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, parents have a duty to financially maintain and support their children, right? It's their responsibility. But unfortunately, it often happens that one parent does not do their part and the other parent must then obtain a maintenance order from the court. But what happens when the other parent still doesn't pay the maintenance? I was telling the listeners the other time that I remember I visited... let's leave that one. I'll come back to it. Advocate Seko, good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Okay, here we go. Is this better now?
Yeah. We had just lost
you. Sensitive matter, sensitive network.
Yeah. You can say that again, eh? Someone has not paid their dues.
I'm standing on the corner of the roof now, so hopefully.
Yeah, but please be safe. They make sure you're holding on tightly.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ashley, for joining us. And we really want to touch on this topic and really maybe iron out some of these issues. Maybe please speak to us about the provisions of the Children's Act as it pertains to the payment of maintenances.
The Children's Act was enacted to give effect to Section 28 of the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, which recognizes the importance of protecting and preserving children's rights. And, essentially in all matters relating to children, the Constitution requires that their best interests be taken into consideration. The Maintenance Act tries to put in some empowering provisions to give life to, to those constitutional provisions. So you have Section 7, which has a whole list and factors that must be taken into consideration in matters relating to children. Mm-hmm. And then you have Section 26 of the Maintenance Act, which is a different act altogether. But the Children's Act and the Maintenance Act seek to deal with the Children's Act deals with a wider scope of matters relating to children. And then as the Maintenance Act, the name speaks for itself. It then narrows issues down to the maintenance of little ones. So when we're talking children, you're talking somebody below the age of 18 that has not yet attained the age of majority, which is defined in the Children's Act. And you also have what is known as a major dependent. This is somebody that is no longer a child insofar as the years are defined, but remains dependent on the parents. Because you've got 18-year-old varsity, they really cannot still stand on their own and they still have to finish degrees and get work. And we know that those people are still heavily reliant on their parents. So the Maintenance Act specifically deals with instances under which maintenance orders may be granted.
Okay.
And also the different options available to a party who's received a maintenance order, but there's not been any compliance by the party against whom such order was made. And Section 26 deals with that.
Okay. And maybe, Advocate, maybe just circling back to the Act there, who is it aimed at addressing? Is there a particular gender that it's aimed at addressing, or it's either parent? So I'm just looking at a scenario where perhaps the mother is the one with the child. I'm taking it that then the other parent, which is the man in this case, will be the one that is needing to be paying the maintenance. And is that also vice versa, where if the child is staying with the father, then the mother is the one who should be then by law looking to pay this maintenance?
Ordinarily, what we have, and maybe to first give you more of a straight answer, the Maintenance Act does not differentiate between a male and a female. As I say to you, that when you're talking about the Maintenance Act, your concern is not about the parent, who is the parent, or who is the guardian, or who is the parent against whom the maintenance order is sought. The focus is never on the parties, on the respective parties who are able to afford, but the focus rather is on the child. So it does not matter whether you're an aunt, you're an uncle, you're a mother, you're a father, you're a brother, you're a sister. The maintenance Act has far-reaching consequences, and it's not necessarily restricted to the biological parents. It is not an instrument that is aimed at punishing men. Even men can claim maintenance. In fact, we have what is known as the maintenance formula. And the maintenance formula seeks to derive a proportional contribution by the respective parties towards the child's expenses. Mm-hmm. So usually in a dispute, ordinarily you have a mother and a father. So we'll use that as an example.
Okay.
The maintenance formula says in determining the maintenance payable towards a specific child, we would look at the a party's gross income. So we look at the wife's gross income. We divide that gross income by the combined gross income of both parties. So we add the gross income of the mom and the dad. And then we take the one party's gross income, we divide it by that, and then we multiply that by the child's expenses. That then gives you a proportional contribution expressed as a percentage.
Okay.
So
okay.
It doesn't matter. So if the mother is earning more, whichever party earns more is going to find themselves contributing a greater amount, towards the child's expenses. If ever there is a change in scenario, a formula remains a formula. You just adjust those percentages respectively if one of the parties goes on to win lotto. So it should never ever be viewed as a tool to punish a specific gender.
It felt like it was an in-daughter master scenario, where they are the ones who must bear the brunt of the maintenance, as it were.
Yeah, and understandably so. If you think about it, women have often been marginalized.
Certainly.
With limited access to income. Yes, we're seeing a change in our societal approach. As we move away from a patriarchal society, now we're seeing women become the bigger earners. Before, it was unheard of that you'd find a man asking for a divorce and then getting 50% of what is the woman's, because usually women did not have any material possession. But you'd be surprised how many of such orders are now coming out of court where the man is a weaker party financially when you consider the finances. And this is across the spectrum. Yeah. So not only limited to divorce, but even when it comes to maintenance. We've seen numerous maintenance orders where a woman has to pay more. And in fact, today's discussion, which zooms in on pension funds, there's an interesting case that was adjudicated over in Bulukwane. Late last year, the judgment was released.
Okay.
In this case, you had a couple divorced, right? And the woman was a stronger party there. So the lady was she's a nurse, and she was earning about 11,000 rand or so.
Okay.
The former husband was what was known as a tenderpreneur. These are the guys that hit mini lottos here and there as the government issues tenders.
Yeah.
At the time that they divorced, the lady had a stable income, but the guy did not have a stable income. And so there was this entire dispute that then arose towards the maintenance of two children that were born out of that marriage. And the challenge that we had was that the woman was saying that I'm the one that's been carrying the burden, the financial burden of maintaining these children.
Yeah.
This guy has no money. But because we were married in community of property, he now wants access to my pension fund. Right? So he now wants access to me. He's going to get 50% of my pension fund. So what I'm asking the court to do, instead of, yes, he's legally entitled to 50% because we were married in community of property. However, what I want the court to consider is that there are two children born out of this marriage that he's not going to be able to maintain. And I'm very worried that as soon as he gets his hands on my 50%, on his 50%, he's going to squander that money because he's going to mismanage it. He has a history of mismanaging every time he hits the tenders. He's known for spending lavishly, etc. So what I want the court to do is to order the government employees' pension fund to not release the 50% to him, but rather it must then be kept with me, and then I'll then use that towards
the
maintaining
of
the children.
Okay, okay. And yeah. How did that go?
Well, it didn't work out too well because the Act says that so the Pension Funds Act does not allow deductions from the pension from a pension fund unless you know certain requirements are met or you know the withdrawal falls within one of the listed exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
One of the listed exceptions is that we would the Act allows for a deduction from the pension fund if such deduction is in terms of the Maintenance Act. The Maintenance Act, on the other hand, only allows deductions from a pension fund in the event that a maintenance order was made and the party against whom such maintenance order was made is in arrears, has not been paying that maintenance.
Okay.
So what happened in this matter was that when the parties divorced, they did not deal with the maintenance issue in their divorce proceedings, but they deferred them to be attended to by the maintenance court.
Mm.
But instead of that file being opened at the maintenance court, for some reason they didn't go through that process. And then the lady sought to bring this type of an application. And so the court says, well, we can't give you that order for that simple reason that he's not in arrears. So we can't say that he's in arrears. And there's no order that has been made against him. So the only time that you should be able to come in, because you are claiming that he will not be able to meet his maintenance obligations. How do we prove that? You know, there's nothing to show that because there's no order that has been previously made against him that he failed to adhere to.
Yeah.
So then in that case, it was kicked out. We've seen, I'm sure that there have been cases where if an order was made and a party is in arrears, then in that instance, you can accept that your pension fund is going to be attached.
Okay, so basically, notwithstanding this particular scenario you've described, Advocate, are you then saying to us, in a case where one of the parents has defaulted and they are saying maybe they don't have access to funds, their pension fund can be tapped into to fulfill the maintenance order?
So here's how it would work.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to use you as an example, Derek. Hopefully it never materialize.
You may go ahead.
But so if a maintenance order is obtained against you, so the first step is to always go and get a maintenance order. The pension fund is not your point of departure.
True.
Your point of departure is just to get a normal maintenance order that must then be served on Derek.
Okay.
Derek is in order to pay 2,000 rand a month.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's going to get the 2,000 rand, that's not for us to be worried about.
Mm.
He just needs to comply with that court order, right? Because, I mean, the court would have gone through a financial analysis to see, measure his affordability against what I mentioned to you earlier, you know, the maintenance
the
formula.
Child, yeah.
Then an amount is then going to be attached. And if he does not, I mean, there's various ways of enforcing a maintenance order. You can go and attach movables. So if Derek does not pay his 2,000 rand, you can go and attach movables. You can go and attach his bank accounts, maybe attach some of his properties if he's got properties.
Okay.
So there's many ways to skin this cat.
Right.
One of those ways is the possibility of attaching the proceeds of his pension fund. But you must first show that I got the order. He has not been complying with the order, and I'm now enforcing my rights to go after the pension fund. There is nothing that says first go and attach his vehicle or first go and attach his car. Whatever the case is for as long as you have an order and he's not been adhering to that order, then you can go for his pension fund.
And should a parent come through when obviously they have failed to meet the demands, come through and say maybe there's a loss of income or something of the sort, does that maybe order a readjustment of that formula?
A change in circumstances should not wait, should not only be communicated after
the demand has been made.
There's some enforcement measures that are being taken. If there's a change in circumstance, then you don't even have to wait. You go to the maintenance court and inform the maintenance court. You can either agree with the party
Okay.
That look, there's been a change in circumstances. I was ordered to pay 2,000. Might I please pay 1,000?
Mm-hmm.
If they buy your story, it's fine. The parties agree. If they don't buy your story, then go back to the maintenance court because it's a court order at the end of
true,
the day.
True.
And if you don't comply with that court order, then you are inviting all of these problems, which might even affect your pension fund as well. So your best course would be to immediately go back to court and show that at the time that the order was made, I was earning 10,000 rand. But, you know, there's now been a change in our company. My salary has now been sliced in half. So might I ask that, you know, you lower the 2,000 rand to 1,000 rand. But if you don't do that, then, you know, then they come after your pension fund, you might not have any recourse. And the court will not look at you kindly when they try to raise it now as a defense at enforcement stage.
And advocate, maybe my final question would be, can that, the inverse, be applicable as well, where perhaps I'm not wanting to touch my disposable income, my day-to-day? I'm then saying, can I bring a court order to the magistrate and say, hey, I don't want to use my salary. Can you tap into my pension fund for this maintenance order?
Yeah, look, that's an interesting one. I suppose, look, there's not one specific case that I've been involved in that specifically dealt with that.
Comes with that,
but
yeah.
But there's legal argument to be made for it.
Mm-hmm.
One could say, I don't have cash. I'm not going to be able to. I think you're going to struggle to say, I don't want to touch my disposable income. But again, if you think about it, the test is going to be what is in the child's best interest, because this is not necessarily about the parties, like I mentioned earlier. In every matter pertaining to children, the court is always going to look and consider what is in the child's best interest. And if it is in the child's best interest that we tap in into your pension fund, then so be it. Of course, there's another way around this where you may not necessarily have to bring a separate court application, but one could deal with this type of a thing during the divorce proceeding. So you know that, say, maybe you are entitled to 50% of your wife's pension fund, like the matter that I mentioned earlier. You can then say to your wife, look, I don't want you coming after me for maintenance. I don't want my disposable income to be touched. So what I will do is, I am entitled to come after your pension fund, which is 50%, but let me not go for it. So I'm not going to seek relief to that extent.
Advocate Seko? Mr. Ashley, it looks like we've lost him there just as we were right by the end. I'm not too sure what happened. Let's see, maybe if we can try and get him just to wrap up that point, as we had actually reached the end of the conversation as well. But I think a very informative discussion we had with the advocate, where he was just ironing out some of these issues and helping us to understand really where we stand and what are the terms that are there. Advocate, do we have you back on the line?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Maybe you can just finish off the thought and then we wrap it up. And he has gone again. Looks like we might then have to just leave it at that, as we were really looking forward to hear his closing comments. Oh, yes, Advocate, we have you back on the line. If you may just give us your closing comments on that matter.
Oh, yeah, well, my closing comments is that I ran out of airtime. So maybe the AWR should sponsor.
You can put in through a claim. So, I think my manager would handle that.
So Derek, what I was saying is, the example that we had used earlier on, they could have entered into such an agreement.
And had they
entered into such an agreement, then the wife would not have had to bring the application of that nature. But of course, I suppose it's quite clear in that matter that the husband was not willing to give up his 50%, otherwise I would have entered into that agreement. But the long and short of this is that, yes, there are numerous ways of skinning this cat. And I think what would be advisable is, in any case where there's a maintenance dispute or divorce process ongoing, it might do you well to consult with a legal practitioner.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, solicit the right advice, because every case will be treated on its own merits, and there's different scenarios that are applicable to different types of cases. Certainly. So, but getting a legal practitioner to assist you around these things, because they can be quite complicated and stressful, that would be helpful for any party affected.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much, sir, for your advice. I would truly appreciate that. May God bless you and have yourself a wonderful day further.
Thank you so much, Derek. Keep well.
Thank you. There you have it, friends. The best advice is you must talk about it. There are many ways to get it done. Don't just think this is what they said, therefore that's the end. No. Get advice.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. You don't